7. I'm going to be reading it out of the New Living Translation this week. It says, "This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone." The more you grow like this, now this is the scripture. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the more you change, the more things that you get out of your life, the more junk that you remove, the closer you get to him, the more you know him, the more you hear his voice, the more you respond to his voice. See, we can hear his voice and not respond. We do that all the time. But the closer we get to him, you know, it was just like when Mitch and I were moving to South Florida. I argued with God for a year, almost a year about it, because I didn't want to come. But I heard him. I heard his voice. We heard it, and we heard it clearly. And when we hear it, we had to respond. And when you have to respond, what happens is the other is no longer an, you know, staying in Montgomery was not an option. And it's like that with anything else in our lives that he's speaking to us about. When we listen and we want to respond, the other is no longer, not responding is not an option. Staying in Montgomery was not an option for us. There was nothing there for us. You know, now there were things there and there were people there, but being in God's will, people and things don't mean anything. You got to be in God's perfect will. So responding to his voice, hearing it and responding it comes from as we cleanse ourselves of the internal things that are inside of us so that the Holy Spirit can speak to us and he doesn't have to, you know, climb through all the junk in our lives. So that's what we've been talking about. We were talking about purging, and that's what it is. We're purging ourselves to look more and more like him so that when people see us, even when we don't even say, I don't have to say, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I go to church on Sunday. I don't have to say that. People see it. And that's what we want. That's what we want. I don't have to preach to somebody. They see the difference in our lives. When they look at you, they say, hey, this person's different. They don't see the world in you. We see the world. They got enough of the world. So when they put you next to somebody in the world, as we're changed to be more like him, they can see it and they know it. And that's what we're talking about. You know, it's the character building of Jesus. It's the character of Jesus Christ. It comes through purging, sometimes lighting fires under us. God has to do that. You know, we often talk about, like, we'll see somebody at work who might be a little bit lazy, you know, and we'll say, ah, somebody needs a light of fire under him or under her. And what they're saying is, somebody needs to make them get up and do something. Yeah. They need to get busy. They need to pay attention to what's going on. And that's what God does to us. He comes sometimes and lights those fires under us, and he gets our attention, and he causes us to look at the things inside of us that don't look like him. And he disciplines us. It brings discipline into our lives. And now discipline isn't always fun. Now listen, she was the disciplinarian of the family. Okay. She was. My dad, I could do anything I wanted in the world. I was the only girl and the baby. I had brothers. I could do anything I wanted. But my mom was the disciplinarian. Now, my mother did not believe in spankings. She didn't. So I never really got a spanking my whole life until I was 16 years old. Wow. And this is what happened one night. I had a friend. I was on a school night too. And I was 16, and my friend lived up behind me, And I was going to go up to her house that night. I said, and she said, okay, you can go as a school night, but, you know, you got to be home early, you know, certain time and everything. Well, my friend, and Mitch probably remembers her, Sandy, she had a 65 Mustang convertible. Now, listen, you all. We love to ride that Mustang convertible all over the place, man. We love that thing. So that's what we did. I got up to her house, and I had told my mom, now I'm going to Sandy's house, and I'm not going anywhere else. Well, you know, that didn't last. I got up to her house, and we got on her car, and we left, you know. And I got home, and I walked in the back door, and my mother picked up the nearest thing she could find, which was a shoe. And she just started hitting me with it. I mean, I was like running away from her. She's following me like this, hitting me with the shoe. And she was doing it because I made her mad, because what she saw in me was a character flaw. I lied to her. I said, Mom, I'm not going anywhere else. I'm just going to Sandy's. I promise you, I won't go anywhere else. And she didn't like what she saw. She didn't like that character flaw. She didn't like the idea of me lying to her. So she took some action. Now, I'd like to say I never lied to her again, but, you know, I can't say that. But I realized that night that she was serious, that what I did was wrong, and I shouldn't have done that, and she was going to beat it into me. So, and that's what God does to us. He looks at us and the inside of us, and he wants us to look at us and say, okay, you have character flaws. I have character flaws. These are flaws that God doesn't like. So he wants to purge us, and he will light fires under us to cause us to look at those things so that we can change. Now, my mom caused me to look at that. You know, I did think twice the next time about it because I didn't want to get hit with a shoe again, you know, or worse, you know, with her. You never knew. But that's what God wants to do in our life. He just wants us to be purged. He wants us to look like him. He lights fires under us. He wants our character to be the character of Jesus Christ. And it's a constant. It is constant. It's every day. It doesn't just happen overnight. So that's the basis of what we've been talking about. We got into a place where we last week, and I'm going to finish up here, where we talked about being determined. See, once we face something in our life, if we're dealing with, whatever it is you're dealing with, if you're a worrier, if you're dealing with worry, there's got to be something down inside of you. See, worry is sin. That's right. And I know because I am one of the greatest worriers in the world. I used to be one of the greatest worriers in the world. Mm-hmm. Now, that can come, you know, these things like this come from different places. My mother is a master worrier. It was probably passed on as a generational curse. I picked it up from her, you know, and I became a worrier. And I used to get mad if I worried and Mitch didn't. One night, my son was out, and I don't know if some of y'all heard the story. I may have said it in the women's meeting. I can't remember, a few months ago. But one night, my son, he was out. He was a teenager, and he was out. He was supposed to be home at midnight, I believe, something like that. Mitch went to bed, 10:30, let's sound asleep, sleeping like a baby. You know, I'm up pacing the floors till he gets home, waiting on James to get home. If I don't hear that car pull in the driveway at 12 o'clock on the dot, I'm at the windows and at the doors. And back then, guys, we didn't have cell phones, so I couldn't call him. He wasn't there 5 minutes after. Boy, now I'm really pacing the floors, you know. So, I mean, I was getting really worried. Ridiculously worried. And I went in there and woke Mitch. James isn't home, and it's 5 after. He's 5 minutes late. You need to get up. And he's like, "Why do I need to get up?" I said, "Because we need. You've got to get up. I'm worried, and you've got to get up." And he wouldn't get up. He said, "Paulette, he's fine. He's in God's hands. He's fine. He'll be here." Made me so daggum mad. I'm like, that's not right. I'm worrying, and he's laying in that bed, peace of God all over him. Made me mad because I was a master worrier. And that was something I had to deal with. And those are the kind of things God wants to clean up out of our life. Because when we get in places, and whether it's worry or jealousy or envy or bitterness or whatever it is we're dealing with, it's coming between us and God. It's interfering with us and our relationship with Him and what He wants to do with our life because we will not listen to Him. He'll try to deal with us about it. He'll try to deal in our life about it, and we'll turn our head because we don't want to. We don't want to admit. Most of us do not want to admit that we have something wrong inside of us. That's called pride. Yeah. And we don't want to admit it. And believe me, I know, because I've been there, done it. And still, I mean, I don't get me wrong. I still deal with stuff every day. But that's, you know, there has to be, when we're doing that, there has to be something inside of us. When I decided, and I had to go through years and years and years and years of all kinds of trials and tribulations to overcome worry. I did. It's been a constant thing in my life. Worry, worry, worry. Worry about every little thing. But when I finally made up my mind that I'm going to do it, I am tired of worrying. I'm tired of it. I'm putting it in God's hands. There will arise, when you make up your mind to overcome it, you've got to let a spirit of determination rise up in you. And no matter what happens, you've got to say, I'm not going to worry. God said He'd supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. God said, cast all my cares upon me because I care for you. And you've got to be determined in your spirit that you're going to overcome it. Amen. And when you are determined, and He is there with you all the way. He doesn't leave us there by ourselves. So we talked some about that last week, about having a spirit of determination to battle the things in our lives that we need to battle and to overcome them. It's so important to be determined, to be ready to endure for the long haul. If we don't develop a spirit of determination, we will never overcome anything. Anything. We'll last a day or two, and then we'll step right back into it. We got to make up our minds. See, determination, and I said this last week, it is not something when you are facing something, you're not going to have determination just for that moment and just for that time. Determination is going to be something that becomes part of your character. So that the next obstacle I face, so that the next thing I go to and have to overcome, the determination is still there. I didn't leave it back at the last one. I've still got it with me. It's part of my character. It's now part of who I am, and as Jesus would have us. So we're going to go on there. And this week, I'm going to only have just a little bit left on determination. I didn't get to finish. And I'm going to kind of wind it up there. And we're going to move into another area that we have to deal with when we're facing these things in our life. And that's patience. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I heard that. I know. I'm with y'all. I'm right. I understand. All right, in Philippians 3:12-14, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. Paul was talking here about pressing in. You know what? If Paul had to press in, we got to press in. It's not any different for us than it is for him. That same spirit of determination that Paul had has got to be in us. We've got to be, you know, Paul's cry, the cry of his heart was to know God. That was the cry of his heart. That was his determination, was to know God and all that he wanted him and to be all that he wanted him to be. That same determination, that same cry it needs to be present in my life and in your life. That determination, that perseverance, that to know God, to know Him for all who He is and what He wants to be in our lives. We've got to know it. We got one race to run, each one of us. One race. We got one chance at this. And we decide, how much of God do we want? How much do we want? How much do we want to know Him? This is one race. And we're going to make it. We're all going to make it to heaven. No doubt about that. But how much while you're on earth, how much of God do you want? How much are we willing to change? How much are we willing to look at ourselves like Paul did? Look at Paul. How much did Paul change? Yeah. My, most of us didn't have to do anything compared to what he had. So, we've got to run this race, and we've got to run it with determination. We got to make up our minds, and we got to stick to it. See, only pressing in and being determined, it's going to bring you victory. And that's what we're after. We're after victory. We're after change. We're after overcoming obstacles. And if we will press in, be determined, we will be victorious. In Philippians, everybody knows this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing you face. I don't care what it is, and I'm not getting into the outward things, but I don't care what it is in your life that you faced. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter what it is, it doesn't make any difference. You know, the race that each one of us has been chosen to run, it can only be run and it can only be completed if we want it to. And if we have a determination to do that, what do you want for God to do in your life? That's the bottom line. How much of Him do you want? How much are you willing to look at yourself and say, you know what? I am so far from perfect. Oh, I have to do it every morning. I am so far from perfect. So far. But working at it, that's the key. We're all working at it. We're constantly saying, God, show me. Show me those areas of my life that I want to change. Be determined. Make up your mind and do it. Spend time in His presence. That's where a lot of it's going to come from. Spending time in His presence. Now we're going to move on into another area. And we're going to talk for a while about patience. Yeah, that's what we all like that, don't we? So we're still talking about facing obstacles. We're still talking about it. But tonight we're gonna concentrate on enduring with patience, running the race with patience. Yeah, that's what we're gonna talk about. So once we decide that we're going to face these obstacles that are coming between God and us, and they're also coming between, now you may not realize it, a lot of them are coming between you and your husbands or your wives or you and your mother or your father or your brother or your sister or your best friend or your kids. See, these same obstacles that come between you and God interfere in your personal relationships. They have a lot to do with it. So we've got to develop this attitude that we are going to overcome these obstacles and we are going to win. We are not losers. Amen. We are winners. The blood of Jesus was shed on the cross, so there's no reason we have to even think about not overcoming. Amen. It's already done. We just got to make some efforts on our part to do it. Patience is defined like this, as long-spirited, long-suffering, with mildness, gentleness, moderation, and consistency. That's what being patient means. You heard that now. It's long-suffering with mildness. It's with gentleness. It's with moderation, and it is being consistent. Can't be up and down every day. Can't do it. You know, patience is not waiting. It's not waiting for the deliverance of what we're facing. That's not what patience is. Patience is how we act during that time. Do we get upset every day, you know, when we fall down? So we're dealing with a critical spirit and we make a mistake and say, we just give up. Just impatient. So we just give up because we made a mistake. So I just quit. I'm not going to even try. There's no need. This is just me. You know, that's just my personality. You know, I'm just a critical person, or I'm just a jealous person, or I'm just an envious person. That's not true. That's nowhere in the Word of God. And what we do is we face it, and if something goes wrong, then we give up. We're not patient. It doesn't happen overnight. You know what? These things that are on the inside of us, they didn't come overnight. And they're not going to go away overnight. So we've got to be patient, okay? So we've got to, how we act while we're waiting is what patience really is. H.W. Beecher, I read this, and I think I read this in a Joyce Meyer book. I got it out of... She once suggested this. She said, there is no such thing as preaching patience unto people unless the sermon is long enough that they have time to practice it while they hear it. Now, Pastor Norris is probably going to remember that, y'all. But that's how we learn patience. It is. It's almost like learn patience. We just go out into the world. We take it as it comes. And stuff happens. How many of you know that? Stuff, as Pastor Denise used to say, life happens. Yeah. It is. Life happens. But how we take hold of it, how we respond to it. Do we respond in patience to what's going in our lives? Or do we get upset and aggravated and we get frustrated? See, frustration is just the opposite of patience. And if you're not patient, you will become a frustrated person. If everything doesn't go your way, you will become frustrated if you don't learn to be patient. So we go out into the world and we take it by the hand. And that's how we learn patience. You know, it's riding out the storms of life. It's dealing with the things in our character and walking through it and looking at ourselves and being patient while we were doing it. And understand that, yeah, we're going to make mistakes. But you know what? We're not going to give up. We're not going to quit. We're going to keep going until we look more and more and more like Jesus. That's going to be our goal, to know him and to know him more. Again, when I fall down, I'm not going to stay down. I'm going to get back up. Listen, guys, I cannot count. Oh, my gosh. When I've been dealing with things in my life, how many times I would fall down, especially when some of the real strongholds I had in my life. Day after 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 for years, I would fall down. Because it was such there were strongholds that were so deep-rooted. And you have some of those. And they're so deep-rooted, they're not going to come out overnight. But there's one thing I determined in my life. Every time I fell down, I said, I'm getting up. And you know what? I may make the same mistake tomorrow, but I'm going to get back up tomorrow. And if I make the same mistake the next day, I'm going to get back up the next day. And you know what happens? Eventually, you find yourself not falling down quite as much. You're not hitting the floor as many times as you used to. And before you know it, it's not even there. But it takes patience. If you're not patient, you're going to give up the first or second time you fall down. And you're going to make up an excuse that it's okay. I'm going to justify this. And God, that's okay if I justify it. You understand, right? No. So, remember, an obstacle is anything that gets in your way. Anything that gets in your way in your pursuit of God is an obstacle. So if the Holy Spirit begins to talk to you and he shows you that you have a spirit of bitterness, that something, you need to deal with it. You need to get to the root of it. You need to find out why it's there, what's happening. Let the Holy Spirit show you that. We've got to ask him to reveal these things to him in our lives. He is the only one to do, and he is going to be there with us to overcome it. You know, don't put pressure on yourself either. You know, when you're dealing with these things, don't beat yourself up when you do fall down and when you make a mistake. You know, we have a lot of Christians, a lot of us have this thing. We like, you know, we want to condemn ourselves when we mess up, and we just beat ourselves up, and that is a character flaw. That's a character flaw. That's one of those issues we need to deal with. God doesn't condemn us when we fall down. He just said, be patient, pick yourself back up, and keep going. He doesn't condemn you when you make mistakes. He convicts you. And that's the reason you'll be patient. The conviction will come in your heart and say, okay, I'm going to try harder now. I'm going to try harder. Tomorrow I'm going to try harder not to be critical. I'm going to be nicer to that person I work with tomorrow. You know what? I'm not going to be jealous of what this person has. Or I'm not going to be envious of this. Or whatever it is. Again, whatever it is in your life that you deal with. Or I'm not going to worry about my finances. Or, you know, you take it one day at a time. Every morning you get up and you say, God, today I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to do it, God. I'm not going to worry no matter what happens today, God. I am not going to worry. And if something comes your way, tries to make you worry, you grab a hold of that thought and you start to change it. You start to change. You start to listen to the Holy Spirit as he helps you renew your mind. And that's a whole another series. In this culture we're living in, and I think I talked about this briefly a couple of weeks ago, we want everything instantaneous. I mean, if I can't have it right now, I get upset. You know, we want everything right now. We want it given to us. We have cell phones. We have just anything you can imagine. I was thinking when I had prepared these notes, I was thinking, golly, well, how did we ever live without cell phones? You know, Mitch would go to the grocery store and he'd come home and have to go back. Now I can call him, you know. Oh, don't forget this. So, you know, I think about how far we've come, you know, with electronics and technology. It's just amazing over the last 20 years. How did we ever get by without this? But now society has gotten to that place where we think everything's supposed to be instantaneous. And we think that way in our spiritual lives. We think that I face something. Okay, God, I've made up my mind. Yep, you showed me. I haven't forgiven this person of something that they've done to me. Okay, God, I forgive them. And you move on. And you think it's all gone away. But not usually. It takes a lot more than that. It's usually more deep-rooted than that. It doesn't always happen in 3 seconds. Not saying it can't. But it doesn't. It's usually a process. And the reason it's a process is because if there's not a process, you won't learn from it. Yeah. And see, there's something about God. And I learned this from Pastor Vickers. And I remember the first time I heard him say this. And I, gosh, it's probably been, golly, back in 96 or 9, probably right after we came to Christian Life Church when I was dealing with a lot of things in my life. I remember the night he said it, too, almost. You know how some things just really hit you. And he said one night, he said, God is more concerned about your development than he is your deliverance. Right. See, God wants me to be delivered from the things in my life that don't look like him. But in order for me to be delivered, he wants me to be developed along the way. If I'm not if I'm delivered and it just goes away, I'm not developed. I didn't learn anything in that process. I didn't develop the character or the fruit of the Spirit. I didn't develop the things that he wanted us to, that he wants me to. So that has really stuck with me. And as I face the things in my life every day, just like you do, I always try to remember that God is more concerned about my development than he is my deliverance. And, you know, that goes into facing not just those unseen obstacles we're talking about, but that goes into facing anything you're looking at in life. It doesn't matter what you're looking at. I remember in our lives, and I know you probably do too, there's probably been times you wanted to go to the altar and have Pastor Norris lay hands on you and say, God, just make it go away. Just make it go away, God. Just make it go away. I can't deal with it anymore. And he won't do it. Because he's more concerned about your development than he is your deliverance. He wants to see you grow. And he wants, see, in development, and we do this through patience, what happens, we're being developed to look like him. And if we don't go through that development process, we don't look like him. We just get delivered. And you know what happens usually? When you get delivered and don't develop, you walk right back into what you walked out of. Because you don't really understand about the process. So, development is what we're talking about. Being developed and changed into an image of Christ. So, we've got to get to this place where we don't want instant gratification. We don't need it. We need to be consistent. We need to pursue God. We need to seek after God. We need to deal with the things in our life and we need to overcome them. We need to make a difference. You know, these characteristics we see, they pour into our spiritual lives. They pour into our lives, you know, and in our relationships with people. You know, and it affects. I mean, I can see in my own life, and I know you can. You think about some of the things, relationships. Think about some of your relationships. I know of walls in some of my relationships. And I know that, and God's been showing me some things. And I know it's something inside of me that I need. See, what happens when we get, and I love relationship talking, so I'm going to get on relationships for just a minute. Because it still has to do with what we're talking about. Is what happens in relationships, we look at whether it's our spouses, if our family, if it's our coworkers, no matter who it is, we always look at them. And if things aren't just right, we're always like, they have really got issues. God, you need to help them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for that person so she can, you know, her heart, she can have a heart change. So she can be different. You know, God really needs to do something in her life. And the whole time, the Holy Spirit is saying, no, 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 no. That's not who you need to pray for. No, no, no. You need to look at you. Because see, that wall that's in that relationship, it's not up to me to pray for the other person. It's up for me to change me. I can't change anybody but me. And the only way that relationship is going to grow and it's going to change is if I make up my mind to change. Now, if that other person has problems, all right, that's their problem. And they can deal with it. But it's not up to us to change other people. It's up to us to change us. And you'll be surprised, especially in relationships, when things aren't just right, that if you will ask the Holy Spirit to show you what you need to change and what you need to learn, and God, let me know what I need to do, you would really be surprised how the other person starts changing. And it's not because they did anything, it's because you did. Relationships are not about, you know, they're not about you. Their relationships are about you, rather. They're all about you changing in the midst of them. They're all about us taking these things, these obstacles, this junk we have in our lives and getting rid of it. Again, we look more like Jesus. We look more and more like him, and our relationships are much better. We start seeing people and appreciating people, and we don't look at what's wrong in their life anymore because we're getting rid of the junk in our life. Because the junk in our life, we typically will recognize in someone else's life but not see it in ours. But as we get rid of it, we stop seeing it, and relationships grow. So don't be impatient. If you're facing something, and if you really want, you know, if we really want God, and, you know, guys, I know my life, I know it's the cry of your heart, too, is to know him. You know, there's no other reason for me to be here if it weren't for him. I can't even imagine where my life would be. I don't even want to think about it. I don't, if it weren't for him. I just don't even want to think about it. And the cry of our heart tonight has got to be to know him more and more. And as we're cleansed, and then as we walk before him and our character becomes more like him, you know, we are now winners, and we're going to be patient through the process. Patient through the process. It doesn't happen. This was an outward thing with me, but many, many years ago after I got saved. And again, this was not, I hadn't even got to the point where I could even start to deal with those internal things, man. But I smoked, among many other things. And I was going to quit smoking. It was about a year after I got saved, and the Holy Spirit had convicted me of it. And I felt like I really needed to quit smoking. I cannot tell you how many times I quit smoking. I wasted more money on cigarettes. I would go buy a pack of cigarettes, and I'd light a cigarette, and I'd be driving down the road, and I'd say, oh, I'm going to quit smoking. And I'd roll the window down, and I'd throw the whole pack out the window. I did that. I could not even begin to tell you how many times I did that. I did it over and over and over and over again because I'd get impatient. I didn't understand the things of God. I didn't know about these things. But there came a time, finally, I knew the Lord began to not condemn me, but he convicted me. And he said, you know what? I think you really need to quit smoking. You know, this speaks to other people. And he talked to me about it. I said, okay. And at that moment when I let God in, when I quit trying to do it by myself and I let the Holy Spirit in and I let him help me do it, there came up in me a spirit of determination to quit smoking. And from then on, I quit smoking and I walked through it very patiently, one day at a time, one day at a time. But the key was letting the Holy Spirit help me. See, most of the time when we deal with things in our life, those unseen things we're talking about, and we begin, as God shows them to us, and we begin to deal with them, most of the time we try to do it in our flesh. We do. We can't help it. We're human. We do that. And when we try to do that, that's where the frustration comes in, because you cannot do it on your own. And every psychologist and every psychiatrist in this world can try to help you. They can teach you how to deal with it. They can tell you what you need to do, but they cannot deliver you from it. They cannot even teach you the process you need to go through, because they don't understand the things of God. They don't understand that worry is not something that you're going to do every day. Worry is something maybe part of you right now, but God's going to deliver you from it. And you don't have to deal with it. You don't have to think about it. You just walk out of it. And that's important, but you've got to do it with patience. Cannot do it on your own. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to help you. You know, in practicing patience in this, now everybody knows these two things, that there's two ways God moves, and I bet everybody in here can just about tell me. And that's quickly and suddenly and little by little. How many of you walk in a place and you think, oh God, is this ever going to get over with? Is this ever going to end? When I went to Enterprise that year, I said, God, is this ever going to end? And I was in a place where God was doing some miraculous things in my life that year. But it still lasted and lasted and lasted and lasted. And I thought, God, when is it going to end? And then all at once it ends. So it's like lasts and it lasts and it lasts and it lasts. And then suddenly you're out of it. Suddenly, I'm not worried anymore. Suddenly, I'm not jealous anymore. Suddenly, I'm forgiving. Suddenly, I'm not bitter. Suddenly, I'm not depressed. Suddenly, I'm not anxious. You know, all at once, suddenly, these things happen. But it's because we walk them out in patience. We walk them out in patience. So first, it's slowly, slowly, being patient along the way. And then suddenly, deliverance comes. And it changes your life. See, God's not slow according to God. You know, God knows just what he's doing. You know, he's not slow at all. And if we will wait on him, then the process, we will be changed. In Deuteronomy 7:22, it says, and the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee little by little. Little bit at a time. God delivers us the very same way, little by little. It's a growing process. It's, you know, he shows us those things, even in our destiny, even in our plans and the purposes of our lives. He shows us little by little. See, if he had shown me back in 1995 that I was going to be on staff at a prison for 3 years, and then I was going to do this, and then he was going to move me to South Florida, and he was going to move me to Enterprise. If he had shown me all this at one time, I said, whoa, not me, God. No way. No. He shows us things little by little because he knows that's all we can handle. He don't want to show us everything at one time. If he showed us our destiny, and I know this is kind of off the subject, but if he showed each one of us our destiny, most of us would not walk it out. We wouldn't. You know, because you couldn't have told me again, like I said, 12, 13 years ago that I would be up talking in front of people. When I was in high school, we could sit in any of the desks we wanted to, you know, in classroom, they weren't assigned. And I remember whenever we had to do reports and stuff like that, I would always go the last row to the last desk because I was terrified of getting up in front of people. Terrified. So for me to be up here today is nothing in me. It's nothing short of a miracle. That's right. Because I was terrified of getting up. It was. So God, and if God had shown me what I would be doing and what part of my purpose, I wouldn't have done it. And neither would you. You know, so he does things little by little. He operates according to reaping and sowing. We all know that. You know, just like the farmer, he plants and he waters and he takes the weeds out and he fertilizes. He does everything he knows to do to bring about the harvest. That's what we're supposed to do. We see what's wrong with our life. We see the issues we have, and we are supposed to do everything we know to do and let the Holy Spirit direct us. We don't run from it. We don't hide from it. We face it. And then we get direction from God as we get to know him. And we keep doing that. You know, you've just got to keep doing everything you know to do. You know, even when you don't feel like some days you get up and you don't feel like you feel like being critical. You just got to say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You know, I'm just not going to do it. And you do have to do those things. You do have to make some, you do have to use your flesh. You do have to use your mind. But you have to depend on the Holy Spirit to support you in that. Because if you don't, you won't succeed without him. You will not. You know, we have to learn to be patient. I know I've had to learn to be patient through every ordeal in my life that I've had to deal with. Patience, it's extremely important. And if we aren't patient, what happens is we won't have a breakthrough. Because if we get impatient and we just give up and we just turn around and say, forget this, I'm not going on, breakthrough is not going to come. And see, God has an appointed time for the breakthrough. See, when you're dealing with something, when you're facing something in your life, when you're desiring more and more of Him, and let me tell you guys, He wants you more than we want Him. He wants us. He wants us to desire Him so much. He wants us to love Him. He desires His people. He desires the people who are hungry and thirsty after Him. So it is so important to Him for us to be set free. He loves us so much that He wants us to be free from these things in our life that He knows or they're binding us up and we don't even know it. And He wants us to be free from them. So it's extremely important that we learn this process and that we learn that there is an appointed time for breakthrough. If you keep in your mind that whatever you're dealing with, I've got a breakthrough coming. I've got a breakthrough coming. This isn't forever. I've got a breakthrough coming. I've got a breakthrough coming. God's got a breakthrough for me and I'm going to make it. You know, see, breakthrough is in His time. See, it's His appointed time. Have you ever gone to a doctor's office an hour before your appointment? They said, oh, great, she's here. We'll go ahead and see her. No. Not likely. You're probably going to have to wait an extra hour just because you got there early. You know, the world doesn't, that's the way the world operates. But God says, you know what? I've got an appointed time for you. And while you're facing this, you're going to learn something and you're going to be developed and you're going to change and you're going to look more like me. And you know what? I've got an appointed time for your breakthrough and then you're going to step out of it and you're going to be free. But it's got to be according to His time. See, He wants us to develop this spirit of determination, this spirit of perseverance, this spirit of patience. He wants us to be developed in it and to His appointed time of breakthrough. In Acts, it says, when they were therefore come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, it's not for you to know the time or seasons which the Father has put in His own power. See, we don't have to know when the appointed time is. We just have to know it is. That's all we've got to know. We don't have to reason it out. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to determine, okay, now I'm dealing with this. And okay, God, you got till February the 30th. No, there's no 30 days in February. I'm sorry. You have to February the 28th. And that's it. That's as long as I can handle. You know, we got to be finished by then. No, it's not according to our time. It's according to His time. Everything is according to His time. Everything in our lives is according to His time, His purpose. And we don't want to get ahead of Him. Okay, so He has an appointed time for your breakthrough. Patience. Patience is calm. It's like a calm, anticipated hope. I think that I've heard it described that way. So if we believe the promises of God, if we believe He will do what He said He will do, then we can wait on Him. We can be patient and we can wait on Him and we won't get frustrated and we won't give up and we won't get aggravated. We will just wait on Him. But if we become discouraged and we don't start seeing these immediate changes in our lives, you know, we'll get impatient, we'll get critical, we'll get frustrated, you know, we'll start losing our hope and saying, oh, I'll never change. We'll start doing all those things and we'll once again start looking at everything around us. All the stuff around us, and we'll lose our focus. We'll lose our sense of what God is trying to do in our lives. We've got to walk this out with determination, perseverance, and patience. Waiting on Him. If we don't, we're going to start thinking God's too slow, and God is not too slow. You know what? We're people of faith. We're people of faith, and faith wait. Faith can wait. Amen. Faith can wait. Amen. Pride can't, but faith can. Humble yourselves, therefore, and this is in 1 Peter 5, 8 through 13. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that throughout the world that others throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. He said if you cast your problems on him, he'd take care of them. If you give him his issue, if you'll give him your issues, if you'll give him your strongholds, if you'll give him, just give it to him. He said, and I'll take care of it. I'll develop you in it, and I'll teach you to walk in patience and to learn how to trust me. And I'll teach you how to not have to handle things yourself and depend upon me. But you got to cast it upon him. When we begin to operate in the flesh, trying to take care of these things ourselves, we're going to become very, very impatient. And we're going to try to fix it ourselves. And I don't know about you, but everything I've ever tried to fix myself, nothing has worked. It never works, ever. It works. It just don't work right. Yeah. It's always, you know, and I look back now. I'll even start to do things now that I feel like I need to take care of this. Oh, I really need to take care of this because that's my first impulse. If something's not going right, it's like I got to take care of it. I got to take care of it. But now I've learned to listen to the Holy Spirit, and I can hear him saying, wait a minute, Paulette, step back. Just take a step back and listen to me. You don't need to take care of it. You need to listen to me. And it's the same way with these things in our lives. We can't get rid of them by ourselves. We've got to listen to him. We've got to listen to him. You know, it's like a premature baby when they're born. They're often sick and weak because their little bodies haven't, their lungs may not be developed, or their little hearts may not be developed. And a lot of times they have to spend time in the hospital to grow and get their strength up. And they're not perfect in the beginning. And see, in men, it can be like that too. In fact, in James, it talks about that. It talks about the patient man. It talks about the patient man being fully developed, lacking in nothing. So that means if we're patient, what he's telling us is if you will be patient as you walk through life and as I teach you to deal with these things, if you will be patient, you will be whole and you will lack nothing. And that's what he wants. Patient man or woman doesn't listen. You know, we don't listen to the devil when he comes to us and says, oh, you can't do it. You can't make it. You might as well give up. It doesn't make, you know, you're not good enough to do this. When you're a patient man or woman, when you hear that voice, you recognize it. And you know it's the enemy. And you know to cast out that thought. So being patient will help you. As you're patient, you'll be able to listen in your mind, and you'll be able to tell the voice of the enemy and your own flesh from the voice of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes our voice sounds a lot like God's. It does, doesn't it? Mine does. I thought, that sounds good. Yeah, that must be God. Well, it's not. A lot of times it's Paulette. So, but we learn, as a patient person, we learn to discern those things. And we learn to listen to it. And we make up our mind, and we are determined in our mind to be everything that God has called us to be. I'm going to stop here because I'm not going to finish again. But and let me close here. In Ecclesiastes 7:8, it said, the patient in spirit is better than the proud. You know, when you're walking through an obstacle, you may not be able to control those thoughts of being impatient, but you can control how you respond on the outside. And that's where it starts. That's where it starts. I may be impatient on the inside, but how I act on the outside makes a whole lot of difference. That's where I'm starting at. I'm starting there, and then it's going to get better and better and better and better. So I'm going to close there tonight, and we'll pick it up and finish it up next week. Okay, Pastor Norris.
Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.